A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a mundane conversation to help you drift off and hopefully find your way to sleep. I am your host, Marco Timpano.
And I'm Amanda Parker.
And thank you for joining us today on The Insomnia Project.
Marco, I have a question for you.
Certainly.
What do you sleep in?
Ooh, that's a great question. So depending on the time of year, actually, that's not true. I'm still wearing holiday pajamas.
You love those pajamas.
Listen.
They have gnomes on them
with Santa hats and snow on where they receive mail in little trailers. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, they're like, it's like
trailer park
Airstream gnomes.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening there, but it's an interesting scene happening on your pajamas. Yeah, you're still wearing those pretty normally, right?
Those are the ones I like to wear when it's cold because they're long john type, so they go all the way down to my ankle and they go all the way to my wrists, and they're cotton and comfortable and warm.
And they're soft too, right?
They're soft. I don't know if cotton's the right, but it's a soft, warm fabric. So that's what I wear in the colder months. And then I used to have a pair of basketball shorts.
You did. They were purple.
Shiny purple.
They were $2, I think you bought them for.
I bought them in a sale rack, and you said when I bought them, you said something like, I don't like them.
No.
What did you say? You said, I don't like them, don't buy them. And I said, I will.
I'm not a fan, and I don't want to see those every night when you go to sleep. And you said,
I will wear them every night when I go to sleep.
Until I'm done. And he probably wore them for at least 4 years.
Yeah.
It was a long time with those purple
basketball shirts. They were fantastic. I missed them to this
day. And one day you just decided you were done.
Now I have a pair of sleep shorts that have, what is that fruit?
Sleep shorts.
Yeah.
So you have specific sleep shorts.
Yeah, shorts that I like to wear to sleep. And this one has...
Not boxers.
No. Cut dragon fruit images all over them.
Yeah.
The inside of dragon fruit.
And what is it about those shorts that you like?
Soft and comfortable and wacky.
Oh, so you have to have a bit of whack in your sleeping attire.
Yes, because
to entertain me, is that why?
No, just because in my everyday dress, I'm very conservative.
Okay.
I don't like things that are loud or
conservative by day, wacky by night.
Pretty much.
Wacky. That's a word you don't hear a lot.
But wouldn't you say that they're kind of wacky?
Yeah, that's not the worst word for them. Colorful, certainly.
Sure. What about your sleepwear?
Well, I would say my favorite. It's funny. I don't wear nighties. As a child, when I was like, I don't know, 8 to like 11 or so, I was just told you wear a nightie to bed. So that's what I wore. Not really a nightie fan.
Sure.
I like clothing that I can go downstairs in, that if the male person is there, I can open the door and not feel weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anything too sheer or cold is not my
speed
game.
Okay.
No. But I do have one sort of nightie-ish thing, and that definitely falls into the so ugly, it makes me laugh, I'm going to wear it all the time category. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
The cat one.
Do you want to describe it for our listeners? Because I think they need to know.
It's kind of like a t-shirt dress. I don't know how you describe that.
It's like the world's biggest tank top that goes to my knees.
But it's kind of triangular, so it really fans out at the
bottom. It really fans out. It has pockets in the front.
And it has
which don't make a ton of sense, but I can throw a phone in if I need to.
And it has a cat on the beach lying down.
Sunbathing.
And it says, I'm the cat's meow or something like that.
No,
like,
it says Bahama Mama.
That's what it says.
Because I got it in the Bahamas. It's the ugliest thing.
Yeah.
I got it as a joke, thinking this thing is so hideous.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cat in a swimsuit on a beach that says Bahama Mama. Mm-hmm. And I remember I used to wear it, same as you did with the purple shorts, when we first got to know each other on the cruise ship.
Sure.
Now 15 years ago. And I remember I opened the door wearing it once and our friend Derek started laughing like, what are you wearing?
Right.
I don't know what possessed me to buy it. I don't remember really buying it other than I laughed and said, I think I'm just going to buy this hideous thing. And now it's so funny because you buy things thinking, having great plans. I'm going to
sure.
have, you know, look at the beaches I'll frolic in this sundress. Look at the,
right.
the dinner parties I'll host in this blouse. And those come and go. But the Bahama Mama beach cat nightdress continues on.
Right.
So, yeah.
You also have a pair of plaid leggings type thing that you wear to
plaid bed. Leggings.
Plaid pajama bottoms.
Pajama pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find like there's a lot of plaid when it comes to sleepwear.
Why is that, I wonder?
I don't know. I just think plaid is an attractive looking.
Cozy, maybe.
Cozy looking design.
You know plaid will probably be warm.
Sure. It's often associated.
I mean, it comes from Scotland, right?
Sure. And it's often when you get plaid items, they are woolen or warm or, you know, keep you warm. So, yeah.
So maybe that's why they made pajamas plaid so often, because people think, okay, that's going to be a warm, cozy thing. And that's what I associate it with.
You know, I have the most wonderful plaid thing. And that is my mother-in-law, your mom, bought me 1 year for Christmas once again, a wonderful scarf that is in the plaid of the province we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this green, dark green, with a little bit of like reddish or orangish kind of line in it or two, coppery, goldy color with green scarf that I love so much.
Right.
And I thought at first, I'm like, it feels a little bit short for a scarf. Usually I picture a longer scarf, right? But this one feels a bit shorter, but it gives it a very formal and conservative look that I really enjoy.
Scarves can tend to look ratty, nubby, worn, right? Scarves kind of take a beating. And that one, for whatever reason, has maintained it looks brand new from the day it was bought. I think it's a really good scarf.
I think the fabric as well is such that it doesn't pile.
Yeah.
Or pill.
Pill?
Pill, yeah. Pile. And it is just a, I love wearing it. I always feel really great wearing it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plaid items that you?
Well, those pajama pants, which were
pajamas.
That were my friend Melanie's that I got in a clothing swap. I don't really wear the top because I prefer t-shirts. And we can talk more about that, but to sleep in. So these ones are the bottoms that I pair with various t-shirts. Now, to just do a little tangent about the t-shirts I wear, what I've done is I don't like high neck t-shirts at all. And I had a whole bunch from, you know, when I was backpacking in my 20s, I used to get Hard Rock Cafe Manila or, you know, a Thai Coke t-shirt, you know, written in Thai writing, things like that. And then they just kind of stayed with me. And then it became, oh, now they're 10 years old. I can't get rid of them.
Right.
And so I wasn't sure what to do with these t-shirts and they're all huge. And I finally decided I should use them or lose them. So I cut the necks out of all of them. Kind of made them all Flashdance style shirts so that they fall off the shoulder a bit, which for me is very comfortable.
Right.
And made comfortable shirts out of all of them so that they're nowhere near my neck. And now that's what I wear to bed.
Well, you know what I did with some t-shirts that I really liked and had for a while but didn't want to get rid of because I had an attachment to it, to them. I took photographs of the t-shirt design. So I had one, for example, that looked from Martha's Vineyards that looked like a old sort of style, American style tattoo with a mermaid on it. So I took that photo and I uploaded it on my Facebook photos that I can access.
Okay.
So I thought if I ever am nostalgic of those t-shirts, I can always go back and look at them.
Right.
And I can assure you, I've never gone back to look at them, but they're there.
To look at that t-shirt.
And I was able to let go of those t-shirts.
It's a great practice.
Yeah. And I just want to mention, Amanda, last episode, we talked about the Mac as a cap, you know, the Pageboy cap that we're talking about.
Right.
And I mentioned that it was in a Beatles song.
Mm-hmm.
And the line is actually from Penny Lane, so I think I got it right, which is, "And the banker never wears a Mac in the pouring rain."
Okay.
Very strange is the lyric or the line.
All right.
And yeah, so I was not wrong, which I often am when I was talking about the Mac, which is like a hat.
Well, good for you. That's thank you for going back and doing that research.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other things that I enjoy wearing to bed or plaid things.
Do you have any plaid items other than those pajamas?
I have one plaid. Well, it's a gingham. Is a gingham a plaid?
No, a gingham's not a plaid. I think plaid
is
plaid.
It's a red and black big gingham.
No.
So to me, I think of that as plaid.
No, that's not.
Really? But your green plaid shirt, do you know the one I mean?
Yeah, I like that
one. That's a gingham too, is it not?
No. I'm going to look up what the difference
gingham
is.
Gingham versus plaid. Like, here's my question.
Yeah, sure.
Is a gingham always a plaid, but a plaid not always a gingham?
Oh, this is the type of question you can contemplate for a while. So how to tell the difference between a plaid and a gingham?
Mm-hmm.
A plaid features vertical and horizontal stripes,
right?
While gingham has checks or squares arranged in rows and columns, often contrasting.
Okay.
A gingham is often using two colors or shades of one color, while plaid can be made up of a variety of colors.
Right, right.
So there you go.
So they are distinctly different. Well, then
the question gets raised here, does gingham count as plaid?
And?
Which is what you said. If you're referring to the smaller alternating white and red or white and blue pattern, gingham, that is a gingham print. Both prints are in the plaid family.
Oh, so they are.
Yeah.
So a gingham is a plaid.
According to a quick online search.
A subset of plaid. So in which case I have a red and black and it's quite big. So it has more of a plaid than a gingham feel.
I see.
Shirt. So I always have one plaid shirt. I think everyone should have at least one plaid shirt.
Why is that?
Well, for us as actors, inevitably, especially actors in Canada, we get asked to play truckers, ice fishermen, people from various rural places.
Loggers, construction workers, people going for a Tim Hortons donut and coffee.
Even a dad or mom role, especially for men, I think, but for moms too. You need to have a plaid shirt or two to kind of convey that hominess, that rural potential, ruralness. I have another plaid shirt that I was using quite a bit, and I finally just kind of cut the arms out of it. So it's kind of a rattier gray and brown plaid.
Right.
And in cutting the arms out of it, I use it for any of my roles that would be like for auditions, I mean.
Sure.
Somebody, I did a scene as a pawn shop worker.
Right.
With that shirt. I'm trying to think of other things I've used for that shirt. But anyway, the rougher roles that I sometimes get offered, which I'm happy to play. I love playing them.
Amanda, so as I did that quick search, I'm on a website called thatisthelife.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving me examples of gingham in home decor and plaid in home decor.
Watch your algorithm. It's going to be very gingham forward.
Well, listen, the sacrifices I make to help people fall asleep do not go unnoticed. So I'm going to give you a item of home decor, and you're going to tell me if it goes in the gingham or the plaid section. In other words, would you want this piece of home decor to be in gingham or plaid. Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
Okay. So let's start with towels. Gingham or plaid?
Plaid.
Gingham.
I didn't know there was a right answer.
Yeah.
I thought it was what I would rather.
No, well, I guess. But these are examples of gingham in home decor and examples of plaid in home decor. And I'm asking you to see if you can put it in the right.
But you can have gingham or plaid towels.
Okay, according to this website. So why don't I just, rather than play this game, I'm just going
to
tell you.
I'm happy to play it. Do you want me to play it with you?
No.
I clearly don't understand the parameters.
I'm just going to list the ones that are gingham in home decor. Okay, so we start with towels.
Okay.
Throw pillow covers.
That I can see.
Headboard.
That I can see.
A gingham headboard?
Yeah, especially for a young girl.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing.
Bed frame.
Sure.
What's the bed frame versus the headboard?
Well, the headboard is just behind you,
right,
and the bed frame is all around. But again, okay, I don't know how much fabric you'd want around your bed frame.
A rug. A gingham rug.
Gingham rug.
Gingham napkins.
I'm just picturing pink and white gingham, and none of this is making sense.
Well,
gingham napkins, yes.
For sure. I wouldn't wipe my mouth with a plaid napkin. But a gingham napkin.
We have red and white napkins that I would have called plaid. Are those gingham?
No, those are gingham. Those are for sure gingham.
I don't think I ever really... I've looked at gingham from both sides now, from near and far, and still somehow it's gingham's illusions that I recall. I really don't know gingham at all.
Okay. That's a line from a song from...
Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell.
Thank you.
Although I don't think gingham was the intention
right,
of the original verse.
Or maybe it was in... Joni had to alter the lyrics for
Here's a fun game. Anytime you hear the word love in a song, replace it with gingham.
Of course.
Yeah.
An accent chair.
Baby, let's gingham. Make gingham.
Yes, that's really great.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. That's going to be the quote, you know, in our show notes. I put a
baby, let's make some gingham tonight.
Let's make some gingham tonight. Utensils. Gingham utensils. I've seen that before. The
what?
Handles. Yeah. The handles being that sort of design. A throw blanket. Gingham throw blanket.
But also a nice plaid throw blanket. Can't argue with that.
Bed linens. You don't see plaid bed linens, but you
do
see gingham.
You do, but gingham more.
Tea towels.
I mean, they could be anything you want them to be.
Wallpaper.
I mean, plaid, if it's big, is a big wallpaper statement, but certainly... It's done.
Window treatments.
You could do either. Gingham's probably your better bet.
Backsplash.
Is.
Gingham, it says.
Gingham backsplash.
Yeah.
Who? I don't understand. In tile?
Yeah, I guess.
Gingham tiles?
Yeah. And here are the examples of plaid in home decor.
Oh, okay.
And it's much less. Bed linens, as you suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Throw blanket,
okay,
as you rightly suggested.
Yeah. Nice and cozy.
Throw pillow covers.
Okay, not plaid. The pillows themselves,
no, just
the covers.
And rugs.
Sure, plaid rug, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it.
Yeah, so there you go. Those
but here's the thing with a plaid and a gingham, but more so a plaid. It's going to take over. You need to pair it with a bunch of neutrals because plaids will fight against each other. So you need one plaid to dominate the room, I think.
I see.
And then you use those colors. So if you have like a red and brown plaid, those are your kind of accent colors, right?
I guess. Yeah. You know that you're better at that than me.
Or like cream would go well with that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's what I have to tell you about plaid and gingham based on my quick
search.
Like
I said, plaid, I feel like we're old friends. Gingham, I'm just getting started. I don't even think I've really truly understood the world of gingham.
I have both plaid and gingham shirts.
You do. Which do you prefer?
I like them both. I feel like my plaid is more casual.
Sure.
With the exception of my scarf, which I feel is very formal. And my gingham tends to be not formal, but a little bit more buttoned up. Now, here's an area where I really appreciate and love plaid.
Okay.
Wrapping paper.
Okay.
Plaid wrapping paper. I love it.
But a gingham wrapping paper is really nice, too, you have to admit.
I'll take plaid wrapping paper over gingham. And
really?
Not just for the holidays. You can give me a plaid wrap that's not red and green for my birthday, for Groundhog's Day for anniversaries.
What if it's red or white? Is that too Christmassy?
I think you still dip into the holidays, but I will take a plaid wrapping paper any day of the week.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So
speaking of wrapping paper, we need to get somewhere out.
It's hard to believe, but we are out. We're using craft paper right now.
I know,
to wrap
for
gifts.
Our wrapping needs.
Yeah.
What we need to find is, you know, the holy grail of wrapping paper, which is that huge, big, thick roll that is double-sided.
Double-sided.
And we had one, and it lasted us, I mean, a decade, I think. Honestly, a very long time, but it's done.
Yes.
And so now we don't know what to do. Can't find any. I found some reversible, but it's not like the one we had.
I've always wanted to carve a potato and stamp wrapping paper.
Well, today's your day.
It just seems like a lot of work. I mean, like it in theory. Yeah. I love it in theory.
Why a potato? Why do we need to make stamps out of potatoes?
I think a potato is a very carvable, easy, accessible vegetable.
I suppose.
I think a carrot would be harder to carve because they tend
smaller,
to be more dense and you're going to have a
smaller. What about a turnip?
Once again, the turnip, I think the turnip has more resistance in
rutabaga?
The carving.
Okay.
Isn't a rutabaga a turnip in disguise?
I'm not really sure. Is rutabaga the turnip like gingham is the plaid?
Oh, that's a really good question. But I can't think the corn.
Or vice versa, maybe. Maybe all turnips are rutabagas, but not all rutabagas are turnips?
Perhaps. I'm not going to look it up because I just don't. We're getting towards the end and I don't want to have to look more things up. But I don't think you could do corn. I'm just trying to think of vegetables I like.
I don't think you'd want to make a stamp with corn. I think that's very fair.
Yeah. And the rest is like very leafy. Like I can't think of.
All right. Potato it is.
I think that's why potato.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can also, potatoes come in different sizes. So depending
potato,
on
potato.
Sure. Depending on the size that you want, the potato is your option. Have you ever carved a potato and stamped it?
I think we tried to as kids because we had this book called the Make and Do book.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
It was very much a staple of our family.
Barkers.
It was an orange book. It was very thick, and it was called the Make and Do Book. And the rule in our house was, if you are bored, go to the Make and Do Book.
Wow.
And find an activity to do. It was very thick. There were a lot of activities.
This sounds like a great gift for kids.
The Make and Do Book? Yeah. And so there were a few things we came back to time and again, and one was making stamps out of potatoes.
Okay.
That's what made me think of it.
And do you recall a stamp that either you or your sister, Becca Barker, who's a friend of the podcast, ever made?
No.
Okay.
I think we would dip it in ink and I think we made a stamp that was like a blob.
Okay.
That's as far as we got. Also, ink, not easy to come by in our house. So
sure.
I think it was more we'd color marker onto it and hope for the best.
Well, that's not a great way to go. But
listen, we didn't have all the crafts.
Sure. Sure. I'm going to look up that book and see if it's available and then maybe gift it to someone.
Sure.
Maybe
yeah.
even you.
That would be great. You know, it actually would be a really great gift for my sister.
Okay. Let's not tell her.
Okay.
And let's get her this book. Mm-hmm. Just send it to her. Well, thank you for listening, folks. We have a few more minutes before we have to go. But if you have any plaid or gingham ideas, please send them our way.
Maybe make a stamp with a potato and a plaid.
Oh, that would be a
There's
tough...
your wrapping paper. Go for it.
I know. That's just too tough. That would be like...
It's very intricate.
Yeah. You'd have to make a stripe on the potato and then follow it along. But yeah, we could wrap our stuff with like newspaper.
No. I know that's a thing you're
Some
supposed
people
to do.
Do
but
yeah.
the thing is we don't get newspaper, so it wouldn't be nice newspaper. It would be flyers for the grocery store. Nobody wants, you know, a gift wrapped with like meat specials and bananas, 99 cents a pound. Like you don't want that.
Unless you took a potato, carved out a banana and wrote 99 cents and stamped it.
Carved out a banana?
In a potato.
You make a banana stamp with a potato?
Yeah. That says 99 cents on the bottom and you just stamp that on.
That would actually be really kind of quaint, cute, crafty paper. We should do that.
Yeah. At that point, you're kind of doing Andy Warhol type designs. Pretty cool.
It also feels like a lot of work.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to end up doing that. But folks, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this particular episode.
You don't know. We could do it.
We could.
But I don't like how you were just like, I don't think we're going to end up doing that. Listen, the world is your oyster, or in this case, your potato.
Sure. Listen, if you want to lead the charge on that, I do have ink, but I would use paint.
I like to eat my potatoes, so that's a problem. I don't think I would want to waste a potato.
Okay. Is there a vegetable you wouldn't mind wasting?
A rutabaga.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we have any. We usually don't get those. What about like an acorn squash or?
No, those are far too tasty.
Okay.
No, we're not donating an acorn squash to the cause. How about a block of wood? I don't eat that.
Amanda, that would be so hard to carve. That's like, at that point, you're a professional carver.
Okay, you know what I used to use when I was a kid?
Sure.
Marshmallows.
As a stamp?
Yeah. We always had marshmallows in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I had to make, it was really big in the 80s to make, and 90s to make dioramas of your books. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, that was a big thing in my school. Like, you'd do a book report and you had to create a scene from the book.
Okay.
That was asked for a lot.
Okay.
And various things. So you had to make a diorama, like with a shoebox.
Sure.
So I would make the people out of marshmallow. I would take the marshmallow and like form it because it would.
It was malleable.
It's malleable.
Sure.
And if you twisted it kind of like a dough or a Play-Doh, and then you could paint it. So I would make people out of marshmallows.
Okay.
And paint, like sort of color them with marker and make. I remember making people skating and I actually did a really good job.
Oh, wow.
My dad came home and he's like, how did you make that? I was like, marshmallows.
The interesting thing is the marshmallows would have likely been eaten before I made them into anything.
See, I don't think we were big into the marshmallows. We just always had them.
I love a marshmallow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You could make a marshmallow.
That's something I'd love to do.
Okay.
But it's very labor intensive.
Yeah. And you can get a bag for
99 cents.
99 cents.
Yeah, so it's probably not worth it.
Depending on what the flyer that you wrap your presents with says.
Well, there you go, folks. Thank you for listening. If you have marshmallow tips, if you have rutabaga tips, or if you have plaid tips, let us know. And hopefully you'll have fallen asleep by this point. But if you haven't, no worries. We're here with you. There's other episodes and know that you're not alone. Until the next time, we hope you were able to listen and sleep.
I keep getting